June 3rd, 2019, it's a lot from Pedro Show.
Thank you. see my sun jet in the sky. The mystic sky, the mystic eye.
For Pedro Show, happy Monday. We'll see Brother Matt later in the week, but I'm at my pad here in Pedro, but not man alone because of the incredible miracles of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype. We got Adrian Sherwood aboard. We're talking to you from London, Adrian?
I'm actually in a place called Ramsgate.
Ramsgate, okay. I know about Ramsgate because I got to play there.
Really? Where did you play the music hall?
That's right. That's right. And they told me that you lived there and maybe some of the guys from the mafia, like Skip and Keith.
We've got Congo Natty lives here, who was Rebel MC. Skip McDonald.
Right.
Congo Adamski. Okay. Ghetto Priest. There's quite a few musicians and artists live down here.
It's a little port town, and it's got a lot of history, right?
Yeah, it's a very interesting place, and it's affordable, and it's got a very creative vibe because obviously, big cities are just pressure. So, Ramsgate, Margate, this area is getting a good little cultural hub going on down here.
They told me that they're going to make a high speed rail from London to Ramsgate.
We've got one already. It's an hour and. An hour and 8 minutes or something to East London, and an hour and 15 to the middle. So we've got, and it could be even faster. So we've got a high speed one already.
You think that'll ruin things, Adrian?
I don't know. The balance is nice at the moment. If it goes too much the other way, you end up that you've got, Nazi traffic wardens and stuff. But at the moment, it's quite a nice balance. You can breathe down here, and it's a beautiful place. So.
Well, I was told that Brighton in the old days was kind of like that.
Brighton was cool. Brighton's gone for me. Brighton's like, apart from anything with people that talk about, Brighton's in like a basin. It's a bit like Mexico City or something. It's quite polluted.
Ah.
So, and apart from that, it's expensive and you can't park there.
That's
so,
right. That's right.
You know, for a normal person, unless you're actually happy without a car or something, it's pressure, just like London to me.
Yeah, I was talking more about the old days. I guess not mods and rockers days, but...
Yeah, and it was, I remember those days. I used to go down and it used to be affordable and very funky.
Right.
I love Brighton. I love Brighton, don't get me wrong. It's just...
No, I understand what you mean. That when I played Ramsgate, it was with a guy named Sam. We had a project called Cuz, and he had to move to Hastings because of the gentrification.
Yeah, well, Hastings is quite trendy as well. It's the same everywhere, though. You know, people make somewhere popular, then people with a bit of money. And with all this kind of World Bank money now, you've got certain people who are just buying hundreds and thousands of houses, and your average person can't breathe.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Can we talk about your music journey? What's your oldest musical recollection?
Well, my father died when I was five, and my mum's the house, they knew, like Carl Denver, who was like a kind of English singer, and I remember Carl doing a version of the Wimaway song, you know, the South African song.
Sure.
And then when I was a little boy, I remember hearing, Fats Domino's Walking to New Orleans, and for some reason I liked it, you know, it was like sing along. And they were the kind of earliest recollections I had of particularly liking something.
Now, was that from the radio or your ma's records?
That was from the records collection.
So she was a good listener. Did she play it all?
And also, I grew up with like Ray Charles and things like that playing in the house. So.
Right. Did she play? Was she any instruments?
My mother could have been a professional singer, and she was offered a job singing with a quite famous group here.
Whoa.
Who were called the George Mitchell Singers.
Uh-huh.
Which is now very politically incorrect, because they were also known as the Black and White Minstrels, and they used to, like, black up.
I know about minstrel stuff, yeah. Actually, Nick Tosh has wrote a great book on, it's part of the roots of country music.
Yeah. It's, you know, we laugh because it's uncomfortable, but
that
group wasn't just doing that. They were like a famous kind of vocal group, and she got pregnant with me, and that by then that was time she gave up. But she was a good singer, my mum, and so was my granddad, was like an opera singer, her father.
You know, so getting back to that minstrel thing, you know, there was actually brothers who did that stuff too.
What's that?
There was brothers who did minstrel.
Yeah, but it's obviously, it just resonates. It's so disgusting and patronizing. And
I know, but some things get kind of weird, like Al Jolson jazz singer. In some ways, that was kind of a breakthrough, but in other ways, yeah, it's cringy.
Yeah, and now we've got, you know, it's still very difficult for black people. You know, it's still there's still a lot of... the blood hasn't really settled on the times of slavery and all the lynching and stuff that took place in America. And you've got people who still, you know, really get a rough end of the stick when it comes to getting a job and whatever.
Absolutely.
But, you know, things move forward. And, you know, I always say to people, you know, looking back on, people always say, must have been good in those days, you know, like historically back. It was good if you were rich and white, and not even, you know, look back at the history of England. It was shockingly bad for the English as well. You know, they just used as cannon fodder in one war after another. And,
absolutely,
you know,
it's terrible.
But in certain ways now, things haven't been better. But at the same time, people, you know, the capitalist thing, there's always going to be somebody suffering for someone else to be lording it up. You know,
absolutely, yeah. Piper's got to get paid. Can you remember the first record you bought for yourself?
The first record I actually paid for. I think I started, first one I actually put my own money in my own pocket for was probably Hijacked by Joe Gibbs, I think, or Census Taker by Rupee Edwards.
Wow. And what about the first gig you went to?
Interestingly, I think the first proper gig I was allowed into.
Yeah.
It's very weird. Was maybe Nicky Thomas or geez, another singer. What was his name? Another reggae singer. I think it was possibly a Nicky Thomas gig or Owen Gray at the Newlands Club in High Wycombe. They're kind of not very well known, but really good reggae artists. Or Winston Groovy. It might have even been Winston Groovy.
So that
great of stuff, and I was allowed into our local club because the owner was my friend. And I got to see first live music then.
How did you get hip to reggae?
Well, I think the lucky thing about England was we still have an extremely multiracial society here.
Sure.
So when I was at school, with Jamaicans, Vincentians, St. Vincent, you know, Trinidad, other parts of the Caribbean. Also, with Irish, Polish, Italian, Portuguese, people from India, from who were, you know, Muslim, Sikh. We never even talked about I'm a Muslim or whatever, just I'm a Pakistani or I'm from India, and the Indians would be Sikhs or Hindi or whatever, or Muslim. And Bangladeshi, you know, it's very, very mixed. So all this music we were getting, we were all fascinated by what came from America, obviously, the brilliant. We were all into the amazing soul music.
Yeah.
And, the incredible R&B and the Tamla. That was just like, wow. And Michael Jackson, as a little boy, was the same age as me, you know. And we loved all that as well. But then with stuff coming from the Eastern Caribbean, calypsos, and the stuff coming from Jamaica, it just kept coming. And it was being made in England as well by people who'd moved over and were working in England, then from the Caribbean.
Right, right. So you got this stuff firsthand.
Sorry?
You got it firsthand. It's not like me buying a reggae record in the store. You actually knew cats from this culture.
Well, we all, I knew, I had school friends, and I'd go around the school friend's house, particularly one of them, Gilbert, and his sister would have a stack of, you know, old Maytals or old ska records or Rocksteady or whatever. She'd also have her R&B and stuff as well from the States. On those little record players that play sevens in a stack, you know.
Sure, sure.
And we, you know, I'm talking about 1969-70 now, and you know, the stuff from the States, it's, you know, people just dreamed what the artist was like, you know, what the artists were like, and America was like this, you know, because we had an American air base in High Wycombe, and I always had a couple of American friends, and we'd go bowling up there at Dawes Hill Lane. So
bowling out.
And they would have records as well that we'd never, oh wow, look at that. It's a record from America that they'd got on the base. And so I grew up with a lot of great things around and good clubs nearby and musicians from all different walks of life, you know.
Yeah, that's great. What a way to grow up, you know, very, what do you call it? Cosmopolitan. I want to play something you did with.
If I'm not mistaken, one of the band America, that Horse with No Name tune.
Yeah, they sounded like Neil Young.
Yeah, but they came. I think they were actually based in High Wycombe at the American Air Base.
I think they were children of servicemen.
Yeah, they were where we were as well, and we had lots of good musicians in the area, like, you know, non reggae ones as well. So I was always meeting people, and but then as the years passed, you know, I was into T Rex. I liked Mungo Jerry. I loved
T Rex was my first gig.
I love T-Rex.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
That was the first gig me and D. Boone saw. It was a slider tour.
Excellent. Well, I bought, you know, the first T-Rex albums, and I was obsessed with the stuff, the James Brown. I had all the singles coming on the King label.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to love all the great soul ballad singers as well, Al Green, everybody. And Booker T, and I grew up with Booker T and loads of jazz playing in the house as well. So, but as the years passed, I just got obsessed with the continuity and the madness and the excitement of the Jamaican stuff coming out.
That's sure, sure. Can I ask you about school? Did you do any music in school, like grade school, the school band, the choir, shit like that?
Well, I'm not a musician, but what I did do was I used to...
I've seen you work. You're a musician.
I can't play a mixing desk, but I
used to... You worked it very well.
Thank you. I used to run a disco at schools in the lunch hour.
Okay.
To raise money for the old people's Christmas fund. And that's how I basically started out. I was like me and my friend used to have this really two little record players at each end of a science lab. And all the kids would pile in at lunchtime, paying like 10 cents to get in or something. And we made loads of money, and we raised more than anybody else in our school for the Christmas fund.
Oh man, that's great.
I'm ashamed to say we kept some of the money for ourselves and bought records and built a sound system, you know, not a sound system like a Jamaican sound system, but like our own little mobile disco up. And that's actually how I started from when I was 13.
Wow.
At school, I did loads of things in our little science lab at lunchtime.
That's great. Look, I want to play something that you did with Mark Stewart called Favor.
Thank you. think that we ought to go. All expenses paid, under the sun, to the other side of water. Parents won't know who, what, where, and where.
Oh, ein Spender, ein ganz kräftiges Frühstück.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show.
I forgot to say when we started the show off. We started off with the John Coltrane doing I Want to Talk About You.
That's live in 1961. And then we had Lee Scratch Perry. Lies with that. Sherwood and Pinch?
Yep.
Okay. What's that project about?
Well, Pinch is a great producer, DJ from Bristol. He's a dear friend now. We've become very close. He's Rob. His name's Rob Ellis. And Rob is one of the kind of innovators from the dubstep scene. But he's a lot more than that. He's a very good producer. And we did two albums together under the name Sherwood and Pinch.
Yeah.
I'm proud of them.
Yeah, well, I love it. It's great. Then we had this chunk of music we just listened to started with Favor from Mark Stewart and Adrian Massey, and this is Mark ain't done music in 7 years. This is the first stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Then we heard King Champion Sounds out of Netherlands with Chinchetta. No, Chinichita, the movie town by Roma, right? And then Deletions with 001 International. I think they're Philly. Red Mass out of Montreal with Terrorizer. Red Party out of Chicago, brand new. Gates of Hell. Paper Mice, Chicago. Dog Only Knows. South London Now, brand new, called I'm Sure Rest Will Make You Feel Better. Lauren out of New York City with No Clip. Teenage Guitar with Spliced at Acme Fair. I don't know where they're from. Or Chris Chappelle's Distortion Pedal. What a name. Time Capsule. And then finally, Man Next Door, The Slits. I saw that tour. They didn't have Budgie. They had Bruce Smith on drums at the Whiskey, a go-go in West Hollywood.
Yeah, well, that tune, Man Next Door, I actually produced that tune, even though I'm not credited on it.
Uh-oh.
And that's not Bruce drumming. That's another fellow we had drumming.
Oh, and but I thought of the FM album... Or yeah. Cut? Yeah, yeah. No, it's called Cut.
That's
Budgie, right?
That's not Cedric. He was called the drummer on Man Next Door. And it's Ari up on bass as well, because Tessa was in hospital at the time. So it's Ari different bass.
And Ari was the singer who passed away, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, terrible. Too young. But I'm talking about the famous Slits album. Isn't Budgie the drummer? The Susie drummer?
He's the drummer on the first album, yeah.
Yeah, well, that tour... He didn't do the tour, but Bruce Smith.
No, we supported them on that tour.
Oh, really?
Creation Rebel. We had that was when I met Ari. Was 79. I knew her actually from 77 because she used to come to our gigs, and that was Prince Hammer and Creation Rebel and Prince Farai and Bim Sherman. And she invited us to Prince Hammer with Creation Rebel and me mixing when they did the tour to promote the release of Cut. Budgie was off doing the Banshees on the same days as we were doing the Slits tour, even in the same town. Honestly, and they were selling much more tickets than we were, the Banshees.
Yeah, but that's terrible, competing against yourself.
Well,
buddies.
Well, Budgie had decided to stay with Susie, obviously.
Yeah.
And Bruce came in, he was in the pop group, and he came and covered, he did the drums. And we had Don Cherry and Happy House was the other artist on the bill. And that's when Nena Cherry, she was only 15, joined us.
Oh, and, Rip Riggin Panic.
That came after.
Okay, okay.
That was Happy House was Lou Reed's backing band. And they were playing with Don Cherry. And we were the other band on the Croatian Rebel with Prince Hammer. And that's how me and Ari become like best mates after that, really. So.
Oh, well, that's what happens with tours. How did you meet the pop group guys?
I first met Mark Stewart when he was about 15, and I was selling records in a record shop in Bristol. I was selling imports from Jamaica and my own stuff I was releasing. And he was this huge, tall, very noticeable, enthusiastic, spotty fella.
That's a good one.
In the coming years, we kept seeing each other down in Rough Trade in London. And Mark was always, like, so passionate about, you know, affairs of the world, railing against the Rockefellers and railing against this and, injustices everywhere. We eventually worked together... on what became, you know, the first New Age Steppers album, and obviously after that, the Learning to Cope with Cowardice album. But, it, you know, we've been firm friends ever since, so.
Okay, yeah, because that first album they did, Biv, who's the producer? Biv, Bodell?
Dennis Bovell.
Dennis Bovell, that's it.
Bovell produced Cut, and he also produced the first pop group album as
that's
well.
That's right.
Dennis's family, we're all very close, and Dennis is one of the most important producers in Britain, in the world, actually. He's very important, very talented man. I love Dennis. Dennis engineered my first ever record for me when I was 19 as well.
And how'd you run into him?
Well, you didn't run in. You go looking for Dennis. Dennis is like a master. Dennis had a sound system called Jar Sufferer.
Uh-huh.
Then he moved into production. And he's produced loads of hits. He invented Lovers Rock. He was one of the biggest movers in the UK dub scene. A sound system operator. Dennis is like a legend. And I was working with Chips Richards, who we started a label called Carib Gems when I was like 17.
Yeah.
I was a junior partner in it. I was like selecting what we released. And he hooked me up with Dennis when I made my first record for fun. And Dennis like helped, you know, did the mixing, and I was leaning over his shoulder going, more delay, more delay, more delay. Sure, magic fuck. And he's, more. You know. Dennis is very, very open-minded and an incredible talent. Sorry.
Man, his sound is so deep. I mean, it's big bottom.
Yeah.
I just love it. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, June 3rd, 2019, Dish Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Adrian Sherwood. Hold tight for hour two. June 3rd, 2019, it's the second hour of the Lot from Pedro Show.
In all the record stores of the world, amongst the music dealers, downloaders and dub vendors, rough traders in sounds of the universe, from Tokyo to London, Berlin to Ramsgate, play it all back.
Pay
it all back.
Pay it all back.
Bill LaBird.
Wall Street.
Where's my money?
You name it, they got it.
One love for the rich, another one for the poor.
This is the truth, man, and the facts. This offshore account, cause them not paying the taxes. The banks know what they a dangerous system. For poor people, and that them deal with corruption, crime, and racketeering. Keep it with themselves, them a deal with sharing. Heartless and wicked, them not even caring. That's why this year, the whole of them disappearing.
Yo. One love for the rich and next one for the poor. You know that. One love for the rich and next one for the poor. One love for the rich and next one for the poor. Can't take the capitalism no more. Rich I get the rich and the poor I get poor. Every day them get up and a gunshot galore.
pure propaganda. Money business, money laundering. Seem like the capital and make business. One law for the rich, another one for the poor.
Great. I've got some money. Starship Africa. Pilot Perry. Astro. Nucky. Professor. East Coast Perry Starship. Marcus Garvey Starship. Ship Captain. His Imperial Majesty Emperor Selassie I. Wreck, ye God save the King. African King. God save the King. The African King.
Pedro Show. We start the second hour with One Law for the Rich, Sherwood Pinch, featuring Daddy Freddy and Dubitarian, and Adrian can enlighten you to this track. Go ahead, Adrian.
Yeah, this is this is what's railing against capitalism. the nightmare, the disaster capitalism. It's Dubitarian, who's a great melodica player, Brazilian, German it is, and we've got the great Daddy Freddy on the vocals with me and Pinch slamming out the nice rhythm there. So
yeah,
this is also from the album Pay It All Back Volume 7 exclusive, which was just released last month.
Oh, betcha, I love it. Then we heard Chris Butler out of Ohio with Summer Money, Dan Jones, Kansas City, Blood Orange Drone, Sazer Bitter Limon, Nadio, Belgrade, the Healers out of the Illinois with Saturday Morning Coffee, Safe Word out of here, SoCal, Dissolve, and finally, Lee Scratch Perry with African Starship. Is this something you mixed for him?
No, I didn't mix it. I produced it. Yesterday we released the album Rainford, and that's African Starship is from the album Rainford, which is literally released like this week.
That's great. How did you meet Lee Scratch Perry?
I actually met him when I was 13, amazingly, in Palmer Record Shop. But I didn't, you know, he didn't know who I was, or he would never remember it. But I then met him again when I was about 27 or something, and we worked together. We were put together again by my friend Steve Barker. Steve runs the longest running radio show in England on the BBC called On the Wire.
Whoa.
And he said, "Look, you've got to work together, the two of you." He hooked us up, and we went into a studio. He played me his multi-track, and I played him a couple of hours that I'd done with the great, late, great Lincoln Style Scott.
Oh, yeah.
And we started work on what became Time Boom, The Devil Dead, which is a very good album.
Yeah, it's a mind blow. And what's he like to work with?
Lee's great fun to work with. You're working with a kind of... You're working with somebody who's like... Mark Stewart's not dissimilar.
Okay.
Somebody's got some kind of undiagnosed Asperger's genius, like maverick fun machine. Fun. But Lee believes that if you're going in the studio, you've got to make magic. That's what he does. So,
sure.
From when I first started with him, he'd be glue, sticking things all around the studio, lighting candles, stuffing things in the holes in the equipment. If anybody fell asleep in the studio, they could probably get a candle lit under their stairs. He was not suffering people with any bad energy. He believes everything he's doing is like magic, even when he's not in the studio. Every moment's important. And he can be a bit cantankerous at times and challenging, but you're never going to be bored, and you're always going to get him, some very memorable thing happen, because he's one of the most special people I've ever met, really, and he's a one-off, that one, a one-off.
And that's what Mark Riley told me about Taff Falco. It's the first time I heard that, and I thought, that's a great expression, a one-off. I want to be a one-off. What can you tell me about this song, War, I want to play next? Nezator and...
Nezator.
Yeah, French, I'm sorry.
She's called Badia Baruzi, and her stage name is Nezator.
Okay.
And she's a fantastic Tunisian Arab singer.
Okay.
And this is Bob Marley's War. This is an album that I spent the last 10 years making. Well, it's from the album called Dub No Frontiers.
Okay.
And whenever I've travelled around the world, I keep meeting women who want to be involved in the, dub scene, the reggae scene, whatever.
Yeah.
And I mean, fantastic vocalists. So what I did, I embarked on a project with Style Scott of using a lot of our classic rhythms. And we recorded a load more as well in London at Livingston, which is where they did the Boa Vista Social Club
sure,
album.
Yeah.
It's a great album, and it's recorded in the same studio, a lot of it. And I've got 18 wonderful female vocalists from all around the world singing in non-English. And the album is called Dub No Frontiers, No Barriers, whatever.
Sure.
And it's an absolutely beautiful album and a labour of love for me. And this Nezator track is a version of Bob Marley's War, which has got a beautiful voice, and this is sung in Arabic.
أقل شأنا أخيرا عمي ينبت وأبدا يحشر أخيرا ينبت وأبدا يحشر في كل مكان حر أقول الحق وإلى أن لا نرى مواطنا أول وآخر ثاني في أية أمة وإلى أن يصبح لون أي كان لا يزيد أهمية عن لون العيون أقول الحق إن حتى حقوق الإنسان الأساسية تكفل بالتساوي للجميع بغض النظر عن العرق أقول الحق إلى أن نرى ذاك اليوم حلم السلام الدائم إنسان ابن العالم وسيادات الأخلاق الدولية سيظل وهما خاطفا ينشد أبدا يترك الحرب أقول الحرب وحتى نرى الأنظمة الخسيسة المستبدة بإخواننا في زيمبابوي في فلسطين في العراق لا إنسانية العبودية وقد أتيح بها ودمرت كليا في كل مكان حر
I'm people, repent. Creepers, repent. Thief, repent, says the rain man and the moon. Repent, says the cricket and the moon. Repent, says the cricket in the room. Repent, says the cricket and the palm trees. Repent. Mercy God, judgment come. Mercy God and judgment come. Cricket and the moon. Cricket and the moon. Cricket in the moon. Cricket in the school room.
Pedro show, yeah, that's war. That's a toe. And Licky Mai, you should talk because there's a little Japanese.
Oh, yeah, when we were talking introduction to this one, it's actually this version here is unique to Pay It All Back Volume 7, which I'm very proud of this. It's a wonderful album, this, and it's promoting, you've got a book in it promoting the whole catalogue, what we're about to do, and it also lists all my productions going back to when I was like 19. So it's got a 40 year, over 40 years.
Sure, sure.
Spats it. So the thing is, this track has got Nays La Tour, and halfway through, it's Little Mai singing in Japanese. Mm. Little Mai was Brian Heavy from Japan. She's a great singer, and she's got her own song, will have her own song on the Dub No Frontiers when it comes out next year.
That's great. After that, we had Spain. That's Josh Hayden, Charlie Hayden's son, with talk about Don Cherry. Because both of them play with Ornette and Billy Higgins. From the Dust. And L.E.D. Macrame from Joe Baeza and Felix Gebhardt, his record of duos. Hi-Fi Club from Toulon, France, with Gaelic Falling. And finally, Lee Scratch Perry with Cricket on the Moon. Cricket on the Moon, Adrian.
Cricket on the Moon is... this is the opening track from the Rainford album. The intro to this, it was midnight. There'd been a thunderstorm in Jamaica, and we stepped outside to get some air, and all you could hear was the sound of crickets. And this was in his wife and his place in Negril in Jamaica. I was honoured to be invited over so we could do the voicing for this album, and I was just running tape on him because he does chat some great stuff just off mic, just spoken.
Yeah.
And started doing a speech that introduces the record, and it leads us into the opening track, and that is what we're about to hear now. This is from the album Rainford, released this week, Cricket on the Moon.
What's the label?
It's on my label, On You Sound.
On You Sound.
Warp Records, yeah.
You know, On You Sound, did they do some work with one of the Last Poets?
I did a 10-inch, and I actually... helped him do an album, Jalal Nuruddin. Passed away last year.
That's right. Also known as Lightning Rod.
That's the same. There's one of the same as Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, beautiful. A Hustler Convention. Such a great thing.
Yeah. Great man.
You know what? I think Koya from Disciplina Kishma in Serbia, he spent some time in England. And I think he might have been around you two guys when you were doing that.
Right.
Yeah, this guy plays wild ass bass like Jimi Hendrix. He went back and stuff. He's had several versions of this band since the 80s, and never a guitar player because he's such a wild bass player.
We've got Doug Wimbish.
Doug Wimbish, I love, out of New Haven, Connecticut.
Well, brother Doug and me made lots of records together.
Yeah, I love that. One time I got to do all Funkadelic Maggot Brain with him in West Hollywood. With George singing all the songs. Some songs, Blackbird was there, and Michael Hampton. It was a trip. It was a total surprise to me. And I looked over at Doug when we back in our mind. We went to the chorus, and Doug looked at me. What, you know this song? And in my music life, I've never had a bigger high point. Doug,
that is my brother Doug. I love Doug Wimbish.
Oh, incredible cat.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the second hour, June 3rd, 2019, edition of Watt Peter Show. Special guest, Aiden Sherwood. Hold tight for hour three. June 3rd, 2019, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Yes. Blood be the tongue, just by no heart to love and unity. Man is totally mad. Old time lovers, old frog lovers, cricket lovers. Come on and join me, old frog lovers, old frog lovers, old frog lovers. Come on and join me, alligator lovers, alligator lovers. Yes, I love it.
once flying high. Then someone came along and pushed them aside. But don't give up faith, for the future still looks bright. We're just going through the darkest night. And you know the universe was created. We'll be right back.
gathers people together and under like a family. So the people, you know, who are in the kind of the dub arena, they're conscious that they're maybe prone to being, you know, for animal welfare, for caring about other people. So a Frenchwoman was arguing this with me, and I said, you know, you're right. She said the other day, she was proposing this idea, and I said, it is quite political because it does create a community.
Well, you know, speaking of instrumental, John Coltrane blowing Alabama, you can feel the heaviness. You don't need a lyric, maybe. Yes.
Oh, I know that. I know that.
And then they say that he got the phrasing from listening to Dr. King's speech.
Yeah, I heard. I've heard this story as well.
Okay, yeah, it's incredible. You know, instrumental music's been kind of marginalized to like elevator shit, but it's powerful.
Totally.
And the voice, like your ma, you know, that's an instrument. We started the third hour off of Music and Science Madness. Now, Adrian don't remember giving me the song. So I guess I can't ask him about it. But we had the Coat Hangers after that with Make It Right, then another Umbrella after the Rain, late great Richard Garrett, along with Crane, Meant to Be. Pie from Julie Slick, amazing Philadelphia bass player. I think she's with Tar Rundgren right now. And then finally, the Missing Brazilians, Meander. What's the Missing Brazilians?
The Missing Brazilians was just a name that we had. It was that was my Kishi, who was my partner with On You Sound, and also my wife, my ex-wife now, but we're still mates. And
You know what? I'm closer friends with my former wife than when we were married. It's been like 25-30 years.
We've got. We've got a grandchild now who's like a great little fella. He's 8 months old, so it's time certainly flies. But Kishi's playing keyboard.
You know who just had a son? I had on the show a couple of months ago was Ted Milton.
Yes, I remember Ted.
He's still around. He's still kicking like Kato.
Good on him. A good jazz man.
Yeah. He started as a puppeteer. He said he got sick of that scene. Okay, then we had Dan Francie, No Matter What. I mean, no, I fucked up. The Missing Brazilians, I wanted to continue with that. So how did that name evolve?
It was funnily enough, I was talking about my good friend Steve Barker. Most of the names of the band, because most of the things on You started out as studio projects and then evolved into a band.
Sure, sure.
Rather than being a band and evolving into a studio.
Right,
project.
Right, the other way around. Yeah.
Yeah, so I used to get people to do things and say some, you know, so it was like a second interest to them. So I had members of like, the pop group Public Image, the Raincoats all playing on records.
Sure.
Some of the things like Dub Syndicate evolved into a band, Head Charge evolved into a band, and Missing Brazilians didn't, but the name actually came from Steve Barker.
Okay.
We were just laughing around and saying what would be a good name for something, and we were talking about, because I used to play bass, I used to use a name, I'm not really a proper musician, but when I did play bass, I used to use the name Crocodile, or if I was doing the beats, I used the name Prisoner. So we talked about prisoners of consciousness, Missing Brazilians, and, you know, talking about Rockefeller, and, you know.
Also missing. Prisoner Patrick McGowan.
yeah, very good.
I got to play Port Marion a couple of years ago. They got a festival there now.
Great festival, the number 6 festival.
That's right. Yeah, Mr. Mark Riley was there.
I did one of the last ones of that as well.
Oh, wow. Man, that was my only TV show I liked as a boy, man, and here I was at that town. It blew my mind. Look,
very weird little place. It's not a proper town. It was built. It's very odd there.
Right. Some rich man's kind of fantasy, right?
Yeah, but it odd in a great way. I love the place as well.
Yeah, it's a trip. But, you know, to relate it to my experience and then being there, you know, be seeing you. And speaking of New Age Steppers, Crazy Dreams and High Ideals, we're going to play that next. I got this the week it came out here at Zeta London in Long Beach.
81.
Thank you. When they come in the corn, my father, Henry Pitt, was a Freemason. Freemason ring. Yeah, yeah. And it's better. Golden Saxon. In Saxon.
Plantation house. First, I love my mama,
My mama, Lillian Blight. My father was a Freemason. My mother was a Etoqueen. They shared dreams together. They didn't wanna make a godly being. Just look at me, and you will be free from your misery. I come to wipe out evilness. I come to wipe out racism. I move ism and move the schism.
My first record, come
all from you. I move Coxon, I move Music City, and I move you green.
My Molly come to me and say, my cup is overflow.
My cup is overflow, and I don't know what to do. Can you help me, Mr. Perry? Yes, I can. I give you funky reggae funk, Revolution 5, in Revelation 5.
People 21,
Curly Lex, Black Bull Jungle,
Susan Cadogan come along, with her so good.
Maxi Womie come along.
Wonder Babylon. This is my undead
biography. prophecy. I came up with the arch, with salvation, and let the people dance, and give the people a chance. I am the upsetter,
I am the failure,
I am the upsetter. I caught Chris Blackwell in the sauce, drinking chicken blood in a rum glass. Tell your story from a storybook. Tell you a story from my morning glory. I unfold the time.
Burn down the ark and burn down the ark.
People thought I was mad.
Burn down Black Ark. Too much iniquity, too much out of equity. Was in the ark.
People talk,
I was crazy.
Walking backward
through the city.
Walking backward
in Spanish town.
From Spanish town to Kingston.
Walking backward. London town,
London town.
Met Adrian,
Kishi Kishi, him Sherman arise, and far I arise, far I. Forward ever and backward never, till the sun rise. And the sun goes down, and the moon come around, the devil did. Well said, and I'm the richest man out of me.
Me is an angel, me have no heat. Me have no wages, me have no wages.
I am the upsetter.
Me have the skin black.
I am the upsetter.
But I'm not crazy, I'm the upsetter.
I am the upsetter.
Chicken, chicken scratch. But the jack storm and the chore.
I am the upsetter.
I am the upsetter.
I am the upsetter.
I am the upsetter.
I am a black angel.
Here we go, Watt for Pedro show. That was Crazy Dreams and High Ideals from New Age Steppers. Mark Stewart, only 19 years old. Everyone was much younger than people. More younger, let's say.
He was maybe 20 when we cut that tune or something like that.
Okay. And On You Sound, how'd that come about?
Well, I'd previously had a label, I've been involved in the early Carib Gems when it was releasing root stuff because I was choosing the releases.
Right, you were part of the
then
team.
Then I started, with the help of Prince Farai, I started a label with Dr. Pablo called Hit Run. That only lasted 2 years. Then I did a record, a label called 4D Rhythms, and that was with a friend called Chris Garland. And it was at that time I met some other friends. Like, I was working with Crucial Tony and the boys from the Croatian Rebel, and I met Pete Holdsworth, who had a band, London Underground. He now runs Pressure Sounds label. And also Brady had come down from Cheltenham, and we started the On You Sound label as a little collective with Kishi, my partner. She was doing the artwork. And
yeah, crazy artwork. The guy's dancing with a Jeep for a head.
No, she didn't do that one, no.
Oh, okay.
She came on a bit after. I met her a year after that.
Okay.
So she came on. The first thing she did was Action Battlefield.
Well, who did that? Yeah, who did that artwork?
He was an artist. I actually met him recently. I can't remember his name this minute. He was a really good artist, and he's actually quite famous now.
Okay. Speaking of which, did you ever know Banksy?
No.
Okay.
I know Stuart does and a few other people.
He might have had something to do with Bristol somehow, right?
Yeah, my connection to Bristol's through all my musician friends.
Right, Mark, right, yeah. You met him in the record store.
Well, the first time we set eyes on each other was when he was still at school, pre-pop group, yeah.
Jesus. People, that's proof that the connections you make early might last. So don't take them for granted. You never know. After New Age Steppers, we had Dan Francia doing No Matter What, Blood Quartet out of Buffalo to do an Invoke. I Will Eat Your Blood, False Bliss, out of Scotland, huh? And Henry Kaiser with Debashis Bacha with the Distant Thunder. That's from Henry's record of guitar duets. And then finally, Lee Scratch Perry, Autobiography of the Upsetter.
Very proud of that one.
Yeah. What can you say about that? I love it.
Well, I just felt that I wanted to get a real intimate, let Lee, be a bit more personal, show a bit of himself on this album.
Sure.
So this album, Rainford, which is his real name, his real name is Rainford Hugh Perry, and wow. Lee's his nickname. So the album's called Rainford, and on the on that track, which is a lengthy track, just over seven minutes long, sure. Lee's telling a lot of his life story about where he was born on a former slave plantation, how his father was a Freemason, his mother was a voodoo Eto queen. It's a very, very intense song. And he skirts around telling his story about how he burnt down his studio. And I've got to be honest, the response we're getting to this is absolutely nuts all over the world. It's being played all over national radio in France. We've got 6 pages in Der Spiegel, which is the biggest magazine in
Germany.
Yeah,
so why do you think that is, Adrian?
I think this album is it's the right time, and we put the right care into it. We discussed what we were going to do beforehand, and he has delivered an album that shows more of himself than anything he's ever done. And I've likened this to that Johnny Cash Rick Rubin album, because they made an album later on in his career that was very intimate, and it was a wonderful album as well. So.
Oh, where we were singing the other cats, like more recent people, songwriter songs.
Say that again?
He was doing songs by cats that are more recent days.
Who, Lee?
Yeah, like he was covering people's songs that are like making songs now. He wasn't going back to his old catalog.
Well, on this one, look, this one here is a fresh, it sounds...
No, I was talking about Johnny Cash.
Oh, Johnny Cash, sorry. You know, you're confusing me. I'm a big fan of Johnny Cash.
Yeah, but that was, I remember the record that Rick did with him, and he had him doing kind of more recent songs.
Yes, but it also revitalized it as well, and it also...
Oh, absolutely.
I just saw it as a very intimate thing that captured him in the last stages of the thing. I wanted to kind of get Lee to come out of himself, so I used that as a little reference point for myself. And sure. Quite a few people have said, it's similar in the way it was, which was how he said it out. But then the key to this was getting him to tell the story he did in that track, Autobiography, which is, to me, the key thing for the whole Rainford record.
Right, yeah. I understand the perspective. Look, where can people find out more about you and this on the internet?
The internet... You can just nose around on it forever.
But is there a website? Is there a website where somebody could go and get all the skinny on this?
Well, this OnUSound, O-N-U-Sound, is...
.com?
OnUSound, you can find it out. Or just Google Adrian Sherwood or OnUSound.
Okay.
OnUSound is you asked me to... That was started also... The name was from a friend of ours, Dennis Brady. And it was a play on words. The idea was... O-N-U, or onus, or very important sound. That was the idea. And it's stuck now because it's 40 years next year since we started it.
Oh, man, that's so great. That's beautiful. And hopefully 40 more. You're halfway there. Adrian, it's been a huge honor to have you on my show. Thank you so much, truly.
Yeah, it's been great. Really, really, really great interview. And thanks ever so much.
And I know you're going to make even more and more righteous music. So keep on keeping on, Adrian.
God willing. Okay. Bless. Okay, thank you very much.
It's been the June 3rd, 2019 edition of Wild Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.